Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland and here I am in Italy, in Rome, okay? La città eterna, the eternal city, Roma, non basta una vita. Rome, a lifetime is not enough, said to have a church for every day of the year. So there's Roma Termini, the main railway station, the whole of Italy, as in termini, because that's the end of the line. You come in from the north and you can't go any further south. Got to go to another station to go further south. So trains from here to all over Italy, well, to the north, and indeed beyond Italy. So some direct trains to France and so forth, okay? But it was extensively remodeled about 30 years ago. But this was been the main railway station in the whole country since the 1880s. And I'm not sure what there used to be in front of here. Well, there were little stalls like a car park. I mean, I came here as a baby twice. I had my second birthday here, going around Rome, going around the zoo, not that I recall it. But Rome used to be notorious for pickpockets, especially around here. I remember speaking to an elderly British Benedictine, this is 20 years ago, and he said, you know, you go to Roma Termini, if you pause for one moment, your wallet's gone. Because so the pickpockets would infest this place, because there'd be a lot of tourists notable for their naivete, stopping, gawping up at the things, laid down with too much baggage, disoriented, not understand the language, come up to them, work in teams, one accomplice out front, creating a diversion, distract the person by begging, waving a newspaper, trying to sell something or whatever, asking the time, and the other person go around behind him or her and grab things, partly bump into the person so he or she is jolted and maybe doesn't notice the hand in the pocket. It's a technique which is used on me in a minibus in Romania, trying to steal something out of a bag. They stole the one item they'd never use, a wash bag. But obviously they thought it might be jewellery or something in there. Okay, so that is Roma Termini, and I remember years ago seeing seeing Romanian graffiti there, fugem de foame in stranitate, jos guvernul boc, jos cu tiran. Okay, we're fleeing abroad from hunger, down with the government, down with the tyrant, you know, Boc, Emil Boc being the prime minister at the time. But anyway, here comes to the baths of Diocletian. You have to buy a ticket, so I'm not sure. I'm so poor, how can I even afford it in there? But I might have a look at it later. One of the few things in Rome I haven't, but it's not the highest thing on my hit list. It's the third time in my adult life. I came here, when was it, 2010, that summer. I came here 2020, and was there one other time? And I think this is the third time as an adult, twice as an infant, flying to and from Libya by Alitalia, because flights from Libya to Europe were almost always via Rome, because of the old colonial links. I mean, the Italian period in Libya was only about 30 years, but nevertheless, that was their main foreign language. The landing cards in Libya were Arabic. No, we only speak English. Okay, here you go. There's a landing card. That's in Italian. Would you prefer Arabic? That's the choice. We do Arabic or Italian. With Italian, I have some chance of guessing, at least with the Latin alphabet. But there you see, so 19th century and occasionally 18th century classic Roman architecture, and okay, there weren't that many floors, but the ceilings were very high. That's partly to keep it cool in the summer, and they got shutters in all the windows. Now, in much of the Mediterranean world, they're green, but not here for some reason, because you really need to shut out the sun when it is scalding. But the shutters are incredibly effective, because they're too effective, really, because then you close them at night and wake up in the morning and there's not a peep of light coming in. Open them and it's just blinding, blazing sunshine. The contrast is too much. I prefer if a bit of light begins to peep in at dawn and then creep over my face, gradually waking me up. I don't like to go from the pitch black to just, you know, transfiguration white. That is too much. So there we go. So there's a kind of a golden mean about these things. Okay, so you can see how this is quite a big transport node. Anyway, what I like, you know, almost nothing's ugly in Italy. Look at this. Even this. Bothering to have the Roman eagle, unfortunately then co-opted by the fascists. And look at the wolf's head, the she-wolf, you know, who raised Romulus and Remus. But that may be a back formation, partly because Lupina in early Latin was slang for a prostitute. And they didn't want the founders of their city to be the son of a whore or sons. So they decided that it really was a she-wolf who suckled them. Anyway, we're heading downhill, as you can see, and obviously in a city bisected by a river, as a rule of thumb, if you're going downhill, you're going towards the river, and this is towards the city centre, so I know it quite well. Spent, was it 3 days here in 2010, 3 days here in 2020. And obviously some of it is just bland, it's just residential areas on the edge of the city, could be anywhere. Somewhat down a hill, these rather tatty apartment blocks, which are unremarkable and unattractive. What else? You get into some really fine fin de siècle architecture, and obviously things going back to the glory days of the Baroque papacy. And we're on the west bank of the River Thames, Tiber, and the historic city was here. Ancient Rome was all to the west. It's only in the late Middle Ages it shifted to the east of the city, the Trastevere, as in across the Tiber, and when the Vatican was there, because obviously the headquarters of the Catholic Church was on the west bank, and it moved to the east bank. Sorry, it was on the east bank, and it moved to the west in the late Middle Ages. I'm trying to say we're on the east bank, yes. The west was the newer side. But not everything here is new, obviously. There are things built even in the 21st century on this side. I'll show you what I mean about this splendiferous architecture. I like the way they've kept the cobblestones, and you hear the sound of the cars going over them, because what a waste of money to replace them with asphalt. I mean, the cars go almost as well over these ones. And it's good if you happen to have horses riding over them. Okay, now I'm going to show you my classic Roman architecture. Well, I mean, neoclassical, really. I'm guessing 18th, 19th century. So you see, it's not that many stories, but clearly very high ceilings, okay? And before they had air conditioning, that is to keep the temperature bearable in the height of summer, because it can be boiling. It can be like 40 degrees here quite easily. And we're not quite on the coast, so it doesn't have such strong breezes to waft them. So Ostia was from the port of Rome, but it's no longer by the sea. It's sort of silted up. That's a few kilometers inland. Okay, being the continent, we use kilometers here, just like in the Republic of Ireland. Look at that Basilica of Saint Maria of All Angels and Martyrs. So basilica, it's like this Greek word basileios, as in royal. Well, originally it was silversmith, then came to mean king. But some churches are basilicas, I don't know why. Most famously, St. Peter's Basilica in the middle of Rome. And obviously that is the largest place of worship in the world of any religion. And that is the nerve center of the Catholic Church. Right, look at that, Le Grand Hôtel. Until the late 20th century, the foreign language was French. And I worked with a lot of Italian summer school groups in Oxford in the early noughties. And some of the older teachers had French as their foreign language, not English. Now obviously English is the principal foreign language. Partly why was French was a more important language in those days than it is now. Moreover, it's a neighbour of Italy, France, and obviously Switzerland. Everybody can speak French, even if not fluently. More of the native speakers were German. And from Italian, it's quite easy to learn French. Quite a lot of Italians went to live in France, particularly from southern Italy, il Mezzogiorno, which wasn't as wealthy. And as they used to say, Italy's more like two countries. Remember, only united in 1861, and not everybody was happy about that. Certainly La Lega Nord, even today, some Italians want northern Italy to break away and be a separate country. That's now a bit of a lunatic fringe notion, but in the 90s, it was a serious political force. Right, thank you so much for watching my video. Make sure you subscribe to Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecalan79@gmail.com. And remember, as Martin Luther said, hail Holy Rome.